Genesis chapter 1, do you have your Bible open? Okay, verse 9, I want your Bible open, okay? Open your Bible. I've got some things, some pictures I want to show you, but I'd like for you to have your Bible open. Okay, this is, I've used this phrase before, the Bethel Bible Welfare Program, whereby I do all the Bible reading for you and then give you pieces of it throughout the week. We don't have a program like that. You have a Bible. You've got as much right to read it as I do, and I think you should. I'll amen myself. Amen, Mike. Amen. That's good preaching. Amen. Listen, Roy's sitting out there in the foyer carrying a gun, but he ain't the only one carrying a gun in there, is he? Nope. There's others. And we need others who'll carry. Amen? We need others who'll stand and fight. But this battle is a spiritual battle. It's not a physical one. Bullets won't work. I don't care how big a gun you got. I don't care if you got a 50 caliber hauling it around. I don't care. They don't work against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, this is where God introduces not just the historical fact of how all the trees, flowers, the plankton, seaweed, grass, fruit, you name it, not only how they all got here, the historical, scientific version of how they all got here, but he's also introducing the idea of what a seed is and what it does and how it works. And I wish I had a bag of beans or corn or something up here to use as an illustration. If somebody just happened to have one in their purse, you can bring it up here if you want. But anyway, and God said, let the waters under the heaven, this would be day three, this is day three of, okay, the fan is, that one or this one? Okay, well, let's do this. We don't want a roaring fan. There. We don't want that. We don't want that. We'll do it like this. There we go. All right. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. God saw that it was good. And God said, now watch this, let the earth bring forth grass. God did not say that grass made itself over 300 million years, did he? God spoke grass into existence by his word to come up from the earth. It was created by God. It did not have the effects of just, oh, look at there. Somebody's got a bag of, JR had a bag of beans in his purse. Appreciate that. Now, I'm going to lay one up here. Right there, so everybody can see it. And I'm going to put it next to this dime here that you can't see. Okay? God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb, watch this, the herb yielding seed. Any plant that brings forth seed, God calls it an herb yielding seed. So it'd be corn, wheat, flowers, anything that has pollen, ragweed, cedars, apple trees, pear trees, any kind of fruit tree, anything of the vegetable kingdom, the vegetation kingdom, is referenced here because it brings forth seed. The herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. So those of you who have had a pear tree, have you in your lifetime watched that pear tree evolve from a pear tree to an apple tree? No, it's after its kind. Whatever it is, it makes one just like it. Okay? The fruit tree, and that's what this man said. He said, I'm here at Bethel because of the King James Bible issue. He said, I'm just assuming that if we'd have been NIV and New American Standard and everything else, you'd have been on down the road. Let's go over here. They use the King James over here. There's other churches in town that use the King James. But he's here for one specific reason, and that is because we bear the same seed. When he shares or his wife shares the gospel with somebody, they give it to him they give it to him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's got half in it. Amen. So, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. What does the third day represent in the Bible? Resurrection. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, we shall live again. Jesus told his disciples. He said, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be in the ground for 2 days. On the third day, I'm going to rise again. And it went right over their head until on the third day, he rose from the dead. And they went, wait a minute. Didn't he tell us it was going to be like that? Well, he sure did. And it happened exactly the way Jesus said it was. Now, Jesus is the seed. He is the Word. He is the DNA. He is the Word of God. He is the one that makes everything in this world work. He's the one that keeps the world spinning. He's the one that keeps all of the electrons and the atoms spinning around the atom. He's the one that does all of that for us. Somebody say amen. Now, Brother George, you're being my agronomist here. Is it agronomist or aggravator? Roy's the aggravator. You're the agronomist. Okay. When I just reach in my pocket and I pull out change and I drop this seed on the ground, what can happen to that seed? What can happen? What's possible? That seed will lay there, get buried over with a little bit of dirt. Maybe somebody come along, step on it accidentally. And if it's left alone and not mowed or anything like that, a year later, you have what's called a volunteer. Isn't that what they still call them? A volunteer vine? We had some of the best tomato vines that I've ever seen growing in our dog pen. Because we used to throw all of our dinner scraps in a bowl and I used to throw them over the fence in the dog pen, and some of those tomato seeds would get on the ground. And did you know, I didn't have to cultivate them one bit. I didn't have to hoe the ground. I didn't have to work at it. I didn't have to water them. I certainly didn't have to fertilize them. And they had a dog pen fence around them to climb up on. And you know what? We had volunteer tomatoes come up every year out of our dog pen. And all I did was throw a bunch of dinner scraps into the dog pen, and that's all I did. Well, here's what I'm getting at. The work, I don't like the word magic, but the work and the mechanics and how this one seed can end up feeding a million people All it requires is one person putting one seed down into the ground. That's all it requires. It's one seed. Because after, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but after this one seed, when it finally grows, does it just spit out one seed? It spits out a pod. In fact, several pods. And in these pods, how many seeds are there per pod? 6, 8, 12? If you've got peas, you've got probably a dozen or more peas in there. Butter beans, you've only got about 3 or 4. They're big, they're not much. But you see what I'm getting at, don't you? All God did was seed the ground. And it probably wasn't a month later, and the whole earth was covered with vegetation, wasn't it? And what did God do after that? He didn't have to do anything because the power, listen to this now, the power was in the seed itself. That's where the power was. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessings on this message. Father, help me to preach it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I have a picture of it now, so I don't need the picture. I just have the seed here sitting there. So if I was to just plant, if all I had was one seed, and I just went out and I planted that one seed, by next year, I would have that. Right? Still ain't much. But then if I take each one of these and I plant them, now what do I have? Am I right so far? And then if I take all of these, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to pour these all over the place. Now I've got that. And I take part of that and I live off part of this. I'm going to eat part of this. Part of this I'm going to keep for seed. Part of that I'm going to sell in town for taxes. But I've just made myself a living here, haven't I? And it just started out one seed. That's all it took. So, in 1 Corinthians 15, turn your Bible there. Paul even uses this as the illustration for how we live and die and then rise from the dead. We remember, what day did seeds come on the earth? What day? Third day. And notice that Paul is giving the Bible illustration on the resurrection using seeds, which came on the third day. Is that an accident? That ain't no accident. So Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15:36, "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it what? Die." You see, this seed right here is not very good. What is this? Pinto beans? No, I've had pinto beans, and they don't taste... That's not pinto beans. Tastes dead. I told y'all this, but I couldn't preach my dad's funeral. I was just overcome with grief. But when we drove down to the family cemetery down in Arkansas, Marcus Hill Baptist Church Cemetery, the night before, God gave me what I should say at my dad's gravesite to lay him to rest. And I actually, let me put that up on the screen here. I'm going to show you this in a minute. You're going to love it. Actually, it's the last verse. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. As he that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Because it dawned on me that I was not burying my dead dad. I was planting the seed of his resurrection. So Paul said, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. Here's the bare grain. And it may chance of wheat or some other grain or pinto beans, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him. And to every seed his own, and to every seed his own, I think I missed something here. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies. That's the one we want. And terrestrial and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one. The glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, then another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. We take our loved ones and we plant them in the ground, because that's what God told us to do with them. And then we know that on Resurrection Day, the trumpet's going to sound, and all of these beans that we put in the ground, they're not coming up looking like beans, are they? They're going to come up looking something entirely different than what we put in the ground. Somebody say amen. And they won't have any backaches and heartaches and face aches and everything else. They won't have those things anymore. God will wipe all tears from their eyes. Somebody say amen. But it takes us dying first. And somebody planting us so that we can get that new body that we want. It also, so what he's telling you is, it takes a sacrifice. If you want a new body that'll live in heaven forever, then give up this one. Gladly give up this one. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Well, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living what? Sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we give. There's a guy, every now and then, I'm not going to give his name, every now and then he'll throw about $5,000 at us. And now that's $5,000 of his money. It ain't our money. He earned it. It's his money. But he said, you know what? I'll live without this money. And I'll send it so it can be planted and used and give life to somebody who needs life. So then we take that money and we send it to Kenya. And we start buying bags of this. Isn't that something? But that's how it is. Now, that's what I said. You put one seed in the ground, but what comes out of the ground? Hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. Just by planting one seed. Just by giving $1, just by putting a dime in. Just now, if you've got $60 million in the bank and you give one dime, fooey on youy. You just been cheap, is all. Sacrifice. Give a little bit of yourself. And you know what? I don't always want money. In fact, you know how often I ever ask for money? Almost never. I ask for your prayers. I ask for you to take time out of your day and pray for me, so that I'm rejuvenated and resurrected in heart and in mind and in body, and I can keep going and doing the things that I believe God has called me to do. Now I'm asking you every now and then to pray for your church, so our church can keep doing the things that we're doing, because it makes a difference. Let me move on here. It makes a difference. This family here heard about us over the internet because I put some seeds out. And they saw them and they liked them. Have you ever shared our ministry with somebody? Have you ever said, hey, have you ever heard of Mike Hoggard? What, that UFO idiot guy? Oh no, he's got other stuff. You ought to listen to him. And you know what they did? And if that guy likes it, he's going to take and he's going to send out some more. So that right now, this picture is a nearly live picture. Sister Helen sent it to me this morning about an hour ago. She said, this is what happens every Sunday around the world from your church. That's what I was doing over here. I got that picture and I thought, I got to put that in there. You see, that's planting seed, isn't it? And I have no idea how many are watching and will watch what happens today. I did a count. I tried to do it yesterday. Honestly, I did. And I think God just stopped me because I couldn't find out where the numbers were. A couple years ago, the last count I did was we had, since 2011, about 13 million downloads of the sermons from this church. 13 million. Now that does not include the live services that go out. That was just the downloads of after we post it and people download and watch it. But I don't have the numbers now. God wouldn't let me find them, so I have no idea how much it's increased. And right now I don't care. I just know that God is still doing. In fact, I just know that the seed is still doing what it's doing. Okay? And I know if you go on Sermon Audio and you want to listen to one of my sermons, there's over 3,000 to pick from. And what I would do is, if you're going to be a critic of me, that's all well and good. But I would ask you to, out of those 3,000 sermons that are on Sermon Audio, find one that does not contain any scripture in it. Every one of them do. Which means that whether you liked what I said or not, the Word of God still went in you, and that's all I care about. Because you belong to God, you don't belong to me. It ain't up to me on how you grow and are raised and what you believe in when God gets a hold of you. It's not up to me. It's in the seed. The seed will decide what God wants to do with you. Somebody say amen. I don't want to preach that. Turn to Matthew 13. I will give this. Boy, I still got some of that pinto bean in my mouth. He spake many things. You know how, Melissa, you know how they tasted when we were shelling them? If we'd eat them, they taste like that. Only hard as a rock. Thank God for cooking. Amen. Thank God for water and bacon grease and salt. And yeah. He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls that came and devoured them up. Surely we've probably lost more than we've gained. Surely we've probably lost more than we've gained, right? So let's say that all of these seeds over here, the devil got them and said, that Mike's an idiot, and he's preaching things against the church that your family goes to, and you don't need to listen to him. So they don't listen. We're a cult to them. And the devil eats all that up, so it has no effect on their life. But did he get it all? And let me tell you something about leaven and thorns in your flower garden, that if you don't get them all, you didn't get them. Amen? See, in order for the devil to win, he's got to get rid of all of us. He tried that on the day that Moses was born, and Satan put it in.